The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
This is the ZABEcast, hosted by a Pop-Tart-loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight, and let's go.
Here we go! Wednesday, April 22nd, 2026. Thank you for downloading. Church, the Virgin Kid from Virgin, Utah, comes your way in just a moment. But I'm glad I didn't put the podcast to bed earlier today, because I would have missed commenting on the Mike Vrabel news that broke this afternoon. You knew at some point Vrabel wasn't just gonna get to hide out and be like, yeah, no, what? There's some news? Diana Rossini? Oh, never heard of her. Like, that was never going to last. And he finally got smoked out of his hiding hole by the fact the draft is coming up and that there will be press avails for various players, and coaches around the league are all giving press avails. So Mike Vrabel did his, and boy, did he have a very slippery, well-crafted angle from his crisis management team. He opened his presser today with about a two-minute statement that included this quote: I've had some difficult conversations with people I care about, with my family, the organization, the coaches, the players. Those have been positive and productive. We believe in order to be successful on and off the field, you have to make good decisions. That includes me. That starts with me. We never want our actions to negatively affect the team. We never want to be the cause of a distraction. There are comments and questions that I've answered for the team and with the team. We will keep those private. From there, he declined to talk any further about the photos or what might have happened. One of the questions was great. They asked him, so when the photos first came out, your statement was it was a completely innocent interaction, and any suggestion otherwise is laughable. When asked Tuesday if that was still his stance, Vrabel declined to answer. I appreciate the question. I'm going to focus on our football team. I think I addressed what I felt like was important to address. He then went on to go on to talk about the draft. And that is that. I am sure Ms. Rossini is somewhere seething, thinking to herself, oh, so much for dying with the lie. Because Rossini herself, in her resignation, did not cop to the basic narrative by saying she just didn't want to give it any more life and that she wanted to deprive it of any oxygen, emphasizing that she has covered the NFL with professionalism and dedication throughout my career. Well, not no more. The cat is out of the bag. The jig is up. Everyone knows what went down. In a vacuum, in a big picture thing, big deal. That's for them and their husbands and wives to sort out. But at a more specific level, Let's not forget, the coach of one of the teams in the Super Bowl decided that he could sport fuck a female reporter who might have a 7 body, but she's got a 4 for a face, and he figured, why not? She's fun, she's sporty, it's easy. Let's just make a conquest. And Rossini herself, with a very checkered past, having a few near-death experiences professionally by these rumors before, when she was in Washington covering the Redskins, should have wisened up. She should have said, you know what? Man, I find him really attractive and cute. And you know what? We could probably pull this off if we go somewhere really out of sight. She should have known better. Her career as an insider is over. Her next career as sort of the podcast gal and the NFL gal, of which she'll have a career, is going to be a little bit damaged. I mean, she's damaged as a public figure covering the league because everybody knows now what really happened. And Vrabel is damaged big time. Do you think that it gave any advantage for Vrabel to be sleeping with Diana Rossini, one of the more plugged-in reporters in the NFL? Of course not. It's only a net negative. Whatever he told her on in bed under the sheets at Pillow Talk, even if she swore to blood oath secrecy, you never know how some of that information could leak out, and there's no way it would be a positive. It just wouldn't. At best, net neutral, slightly negative. At worst, you're possibly giving away secrets to somebody who you don't have control over what they say. Dumb, dumb, dumb. But power and libido and privilege, it goes both ways. And the two of them really damaged their careers over a fling. And I would dare say, now they're looking at it like this was so not worth it. It's never really worth it. But man, next time, Diana, sleep with a actual Super Bowl winning coach, maybe multiple time Super Bowl winning coach. And, you know, Vrabel, I mean, you're an NFL coach who's rich, big hunky ex-football player, a little chubby now. You can do better than her. I'm just saying, if you wanted to. Or, you could get properly divorced, deal with that fallout, and then be single, and then you can have sex with anybody who's not an NFL reporter. Don't make me tap the sign. And away we go into the NFL draft. And away I go to wonderful Utah. I mean, Charch, I just don't get it. You should be better than this. You should have.
I own some really nice mics.
You should own a set of industry standard headphones like these Sony MDR-7506s, which are in every quality studio across America. You're futzing with these wireless AirPods, trying to get them to work with your PC. You got this other shit. I mean, come on. Do you need me to send you a pair? I'm headphone rich. I got a ton of these lying around. I'll send you.
Here's the thing. When I'm doing TV stuff, I don't want to be the guy with the cans on.
Oh, your TV stuff. Oh, yeah. I didn't know had television aspirations. I didn't know
that you want to be part of the pretty people realized
on television, huh? Yeah. You don't want to wear the headphones of shame is what you're saying.
That's right. For this podcast, it'd be fine.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's use that as our opening salvo. Paul Charchian joins us now on a glorious Tuesday morning. You are wearing your Zion National Park hat, which is the beautiful national park right in your backyard out there in Southwest Utah. And you are probably feeling Zion today. It seems like you're going for a hike with friends.
I've got friends out. Two friends of ours are staying with us, and we've already done one of the two big planned trips on the side-by-side. If you go onto a specific remote area, you can go to dinosaur tracks.
Get out of here.
So we did some dinosaur tracks and some overlooks at over 5,000 feet up. And then today we're going to the petroglyphs.
Oh,
so going right from here to the petroglyphs. Yeah, it's
going
to
be what a day. What a day for you and your guests. Someday I'd like to be one of those guests to go see some dinosaur tracks and to get some good old-fashioned Southwest Utah yeehaw in the old side-by-side. I want to do some Dukes of Hazzard shit out there.
Do you want to go airborne? Because you can.
Yeah, I would like to go airborne.
Like to get a little airborne? Just a little airborne or a lot airborne?
A little bit. Let's start with a little.
I think you might want to start with a little bit. It's unnerving, right? When you're airborne in anything, skateboard, bike, whatever, when you're not attached to the ground, there is some deep internal part to your body that is going ding, ding, ding. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. This should not be happening right now. This doesn't feel right. And learning to overcome that is not easy.
The laws of gravity don't care about your feelings. And gravity is undefeated.
Undefeated. That's a good way to put it.
So you're feeling Zion today. You're looking Zion. I like using the phrase feeling Zion because you know what that comes from, right?
No.
Zion Williamson, the off-injured former number one pick out of Duke for the New Orleans Pelicans, was a couple years ago, talking about whether he'd be available for either a postseason game, one of the few that they've been in, or just a late season game. And they're like, are you going to play? And he said, literally, I'm not feeling Zion.
he said that about himself
in the third person. And of course he did not play. Now here's the crazy thing. Zion Williamson has yet to get into an NBA playoff game, yet Bronny James has.
Yeah.
You would have won a lot of money if you could have wagered on that a few years ago.
Yeah, no kidding. Zion's going to go back in history as one of the most disappointing first-round picks over the last 20 years, right? And I'm sure there have been bigger busts, but just we thought he was going to be a monumental game-changer when he was taken and that was going to take the Pelicans to previously unseen heights, and then mostly he's just been hurt for a decade.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, last night in the NBA playoffs, I'm doing a virtual ride along with your teams, both the Minnesota Wild in hockey and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Wild went down, unfortunately, to the Stars, but the T-Wolves rallied to beat Joker and the Nuggets. That was a hell of a game last night. Ended at 1:27 a.m. Eastern time. Luckily, there's a guy who's unemployed that got to stay up late to watch.
And isn't that nice?
Yeah. Did you watch it?
I did. I watched both. So I went back and forth because it's so dumb. They're scheduled at the same time. I mean, can't the leagues have a little bit of deference to the fan bases for both? I just, you'd think, shift one game or the other game by 3 hours so they're not running basically concurrent, which they were. 80% of those two games are running at the same time as each other. The Stars game with the Wild was just epic, fast paced, back and forth, hitting everywhere, amazing shots, fantastic goaltending. Wild came up one goal short, and it would have been two goals short.
It was 4-2 the final.
Empty net. They got an empty netter at the end.
They closed it to one, and it's like, oh shit, this is gonna be a tight one here.
That's right. Had the Wild pulled that off with two wins in Dallas, it would have effectively ended the series. Now we're back looking at potentially a seven gamer. The Wolves in game one looked just disinterested, slow. The rotations were bad. Some of the key guys, this is a team that has some streaky shooters that needed to be hot and stay hot in game one. Didn't work that way. Naz Reid was ice cold. Dante DiVincenzo was good early and then went 0-for-5 on his next five attempts from three. And the Wolves ended up draining that game away pretty early. The second game, though, oh, man, this Nuggets and Timberwolves game was just back and forth. Leads changing every couple of minutes. It was... it was some fantastic basketball, a ton of points, not a lot of great defense, but there was a lot to like in that game. And the Wolves are now right back in this one at 1-1, and the series shifts back to Minnesota.
I love the character contrast between Joker and the Ant-Man. It's part of what makes sports beautiful, that you can have two guys so radically different in just who they are and how they play the game and sort of their entire vibe about it. I mean, Ant-Man is this Black American, high-flying, super slam-dunking, doesn't give a fuck what people think about him, dude who's also funny. And he's got a wry sense of humor. You could argue that he's not a great father because he told one of his baby mamas, here's a check for $5 million, beat it. I don't ever want to talk to you again or the kid. And it's like, bro, like, that's not cool. And he's like, no, this is the deal. I told her all along, you're pregnant. I don't want to have the child. Abortion is legal. You choose to have the baby. I'm not going to be the dad. Like, that whole thing was a little bit wonky, but whatever. Might have been more than $5 million. Look that up, Charge, how much he had to pay. You know that story, right? He basically
I do know that story. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then you have Joker, who is this egg-shaped, clump-footed Eastern Bloc guy who was not a superstar early in his career, but then blossomed into a triple-double machine, a guy with the softest touch, the most sublime radar-like sensibility of here's a guy, I'm going to pass it to him. But he also doesn't give a shit about basketball because as soon as he won the title a couple years ago, he wanted to skip the parade so
Unreal.
He could rush back home to Europe to be with his beloved horses. Hilarious.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I think I'd want to be part of the parade, right? To have go through downtown and have an entire city showering you with love and praise and admiration. But no, that's not what he wanted to do. Anthony Edwards paid a lump sum of $1,080,000 to Aisha Howard, the mother of his daughter, Aubrey Summers Howard, instead of paying monthly installments of $5,000 a month. The amount was calculated to cover 18 years of child support up front.
Okay, so it was only $1 million.
All right. Only $1 million. Yeah, you would think it would be more because he's worth a lot more than that. But I guess this is the reverse of the old lottery conundrum, right, Zabe? You win the lottery. Yeah. Do you get the annual annuity that will be more money, or do you take the lump sum for half the amount up front?
It kind of is. That's the way it is. Yeah,
it's very similar to that.
No doubt. Charge is heading back to Minnesota shortly after today. You're going tonight or tomorrow?
By the time people hear this, I will be airborne in all probability.
Airborne to Minnesota. You're going to be part of KFan's draft coverage for the Minnesota Vikings, and I think it's wonderful that they want you back and are happy to have you back to do that. You've done it for many years. Obviously, this is a big draft for the Vikings. They think they've got an idea in Kyler Murray. I saw where Justin Jefferson was up in front of a media avail saying that for McCarthy, it's good to have competition, blah, 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 blah. I said yesterday on this pod, Charge, deep down, you guys know this is not a good idea, this quarterback idea.
This Which Murray. One, the Kyler part?
The whole thing. No, Kyler Murray, the little shrimp on top of J.J. McCarthy. You know, this is a half-baked idea, right?
Well, this is what happens when you put all your chips on a rookie, unproven rookie quarterback, and you have nowhere to go, right? So this is just what the Vikings could do with the hand they had been dealt by their former general manager, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who basically screwed this franchise over 19 different ways in four years of bad, mostly not entirely bad decision making. And so where do you go? And Kyler Murray was the best available quarterback. The Vikings got him. He's playing basically for free this year. The Cardinals will pay his salary.
Was he the best available more than Tua?
Yes.
More by than a margin. My friend Geno Smith?
By a bigger margin, yes.
More than bringing back Kirko Chains from Atlanta?
I just think that ship had sailed. They'd done their time together. Murray at least gives you, here's what Murray gives you. He's young enough still, I think 29. He's young, right in that range, maybe 30. He gives you some upside. If you're able to turn him around like you turned around Sam Darnold, you could get 5 more years of good play out of Kyler Murray. And, you know, if you believe the excuse that he was a good quarterback playing in a bad organization, a bad franchise with bad defenses and bad offensive lines, and you want to make those excuses for him, and maybe it all comes around. Those excuses turn out to be valid for Sam Darnold for his years with the Jets and the Panthers. You put him in a good spot, and he was much, much, much better. Maybe that happens here for the Vikings, but that does not rule it. Vikings will not take a quarterback in the first round. But I hope the Vikings go quarterback at some point in this draft because, Zabe, and this is true for every team, not just my Vikings, if you don't have your franchise quarterback, always draft a quarterback. Always. Every draft, you find somebody who has some NFL-capable trait, and you draft him, and you find out if you can build around that trait every year till you have your franchise quarterback.
I would concur with that with one caveat. Take that extra bonus quarterback when you don't necessarily need one, as long as it's not in the second round. The second round appears to be a complete quarterback graveyard. Shall I walk you through some of the second rounders?
Yes.
I'll jump 3 years back because, you know, the last 3 years, the jury's still out on some guys, okay? Like, for example, last year, Tyler Shuck was a second rounder. I thought he was going to stink. He actually played pretty well.
He finished second in Rookie of the Year voting, and I thought he should have won.
Right.
The Saints won 5 of their last 6 games.
Yeah. 2023, Will Levis, second rounder.
Disaster.
2021, Kyle Trask, second rounder.
Currently still a backup.
Never played.
No.
Hasn't played yet. 2020 Jalen Hurts is an exception.
That worked out pretty well.
2019 Drew Lock, second rounder.
No.
2017 DeShone Kizer, second rounder.
Man, forgot all about him.
2016 Christian Hackenberg, Jets, second rounder.
Jeez.
Never played a down, which is, I think, a record for the highest a quarterback's ever been drafted, and they never let him
never threw a pass
snap. He was that bad. You would almost think you'd say to the Jets, "You sure you don't want to try him? You bought him for a second.
You're the
round.
Jets. You're the Jets. What? Who else were you starting?
4-11. You sure? Just give him a shot." And they're like, "No, under
he's
no
so bad.
Like you have
so
no
bad.
Idea exactly." 2014, Derek Carr.
He had a nice 10-year career. That's not bad.
Jimmy Garoppolo, second round.
You mean, are you talking about Super Bowl quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo?
Those are two kind of exceptions. Geno Smith was a second rounder in 2013.
And that's, you know, it didn't work out for the team that drafted him, nor the several practice squads that he was on after that. But ultimately, Geno ended up having a nice little career for himself. Got
Brock Osweiler, second rounder, 2020.
Disaster.
Andy Dalton and Colin Kaepernick in 2011 were second rounders. And they went behind the following. Cam Newton, Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, and Christian Ponder.
That one still hurts to this day.
2010.
That one still hurts.
2010, Jimmy Clausen, second rounder. Absolute turd.
Garbage.
And Mel Kiper Jr. was beating the drum so hard.
Yeah.
Jimmy Clausen, because Clausen's agent was one of the best men in Mel's wedding.
Wedding? Jeez. And Clausen went... People were talking about Clausen going in the top 5 of the draft.
Exactly.
And when the Vikings were up Clausen's year, Vikings didn't have a quarterback at the time. Many Viking fans wanted Jimmy Clausen over Adrian Peterson.
Jesus. 2009, Pat White, West Virginia to the Dolphins, second rounder. They quickly realized at best he is a wildcat, and then they're like, we can't even use him in that role. In 2008, the Packers took Brian Brohm out of Louisville in the second round.
Yeah.
Chad Henne that year was a second rounder to the Dolphins, a longtime journeyman scrub. In 07, the Eagles took Kevin Cobb.
K-O-L-B. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Oh, that caused people no end of angst trying to figure out how to say and spell his name.
The Dolphins took John Beck from BYU, who would go on to set the record for interceptions, I think, in a game for the Redskins back in the day. Drew Stanton was a second rounder in 2007. Do I need to go on, counselor?
You really
Kellen
don't.
Clemens see this in 06. Tavares Jackson in 06. You remember him.
I do, unfortunately. Several years. Rest in peace. He is not alive and hasn't been for a while.
I know. So, in other words, there are a few exceptions, but the absolute galactic whiffs in the second round, to me, indicate an interesting flawed psychology of picking a quarterback there.
So
it's
a high pick.
It's a second round pick.
The point you're making is very salient here. At second round equity, you feel like you have somebody who ought to be a starter, because at any other position in the second round, you've got somebody who you pretty much expect to start their rookie year and you expect to get reps out of. And at the quarterback position, because you are always overpaying for quarterbacks, you're really getting in the second round a third round talent or a fourth round talent. Right. Because apparently you need a quarterback and you're taking one that early. So, I think it's fairly stated. If you are a good enough second round quarterback, you'll be taken in the first round.
Yeah.
And if you're not in the second round, you're
definitely not worth a second rounder.
Drew Brees was a second rounder.
I think he was a second.
We're going back 20 plus years, and he is clearly one of the exceptions, not the rule. But I believe he was a second rounder as well.
I can scroll back far enough here at draft NFL.
Same draft as LaDainian Tomlinson.
Drafthistory.com. Yeah. Sean King for the Buccaneers was a second rounder in 99. Charlie Batch was a second rounder in 98 for the Lions.
They got a little run out of him.
Jake Plummer was a second rounder for the Cardinals. That worked out in 97.
Yeah.
Okay. But I guess the larger point that I would like to make is, when it comes to evaluating draft picks and was it a good pick or not a good pick, I always tend to default to how many starts did this draft pick make for you on his first contract? And the higher you pick a guy, first round, second round, third round, the higher the expectations you should have for number of starts.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people say, well, starting doesn't mean anything because it could be a bad team that had nobody else. And I'm like, yeah, sort of, but a coach won't play a guy, especially won't start a guy, if he's not any good at all. And so if you got a draft pick who's starting, he's producing for you. He's one of 11 guys on offense or defense that you trust to be out there with your frontline guys. That is a win at the broadest level, right?
Yes.
So when it comes to the case of Jordan Love for the Packers, this is where I get in trouble with some of the more diehard cheeseheads. I say to them, I'm like, oh, Jordan Love is a great pick. I go, was he though? Because he didn't play for 2 years, except for a smattering of plays, passes.
Yeah, Kansas City game. Yep.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like one start, basically. I said, you took a zero on a first-round pick that you had to spend extra picks to scooch up to get. You took a zero on that report card for 2 years. That's a steep price. Well, we had Rodgers. Well, him watching Rodgers from the sideline helped make him who he was. And I'm like, maybe, but again, let me go back to, you took zeros for two years.
No return. No return on the investment for 2 years. Yes.
Then he played well. and he won a playoff game, and you paid him $220 million, $55 million going rate. Now, look, that's the going rate for starting quarterbacks. He hasn't won a playoff game since. Well, it's not his fault that the team fell apart and Matt LaFleur sucks against the Bears. Okay, I know it's not entirely his fault, but I'm just breaking it down to the most basic thing. You drafted a quarterback using extra assets to move up. He took a zero for 2 years. You paid him $220 million. He has one playoff win. I'm not saying that's the best draft pick in the world. I'm just not. I can't. And I like him.
I know.
You're glad they have him. But it doesn't make it a great pick. Sorry I talked so long. The floor is yours.
No, I like when you monologue. It's, I believe that quarterback's a little bit different in that you basically are, if you've got a franchise quarterback, you can do pretty much what you want to keep that quarterback for eternity, and they play a long time. You know, now quarterbacks play 15 years. So sure. losing those first 2 years, you're absolutely right that that's a loss. I mean, that you got no return on that pick, but if you're going to get him for 13, if you're going to have stability at the quarterback position for 13 more years, that's an easy price to pay. Especially when you didn't need him to start. Not starting him for those 2 years was a luxury because you had another competent quarterback. So
true, but that's only if he's a home run 13-year going to the Hall of Fame kind of guy, because guys can go south. I mean, obviously the Dolphins thought they had their guy, and same thing for Cardinals with Kyler Murray. And so they paid him their money and they're like, oh shit, never mind.
Now what? We're stuck. Yeah, and both those teams are this year will pay extraordinary amounts to players that are not on their team. They've paid players, you know, $30, $40 million to leave.
Right.
That's pretty good.
So what do you think is going to happen with Rodgers in Pittsburgh?
I think he's going to play. But we'll get a look at it in this draft. Some people think that Pittsburgh is in play for a quarterback as early as pick number 21 in this draft. Some people think they will take Ty Simpson that fast, or
Ty. Yep. Caddyshack.
Who is the Ty in Caddyshack?
Ty Webb. Oh yeah. Don't hate Caddyshack. You hate Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation.
Yeah. Are you
Caddyshack's good.
You like Caddyshack.
I do like Caddyshack. Okay. But I will say this, the thing that everybody gets wrong on Caddyshack, and I think that this is very important. There's one true star of Caddyshack, the person that makes the entire movie work, without whom it is a grade A disaster.
The mechanical gopher?
It is not the mechanical gopher. It is Ted Knight. Ted Knight is the heart and soul of Caddyshack. He is hilarious, and he is the antagonist for everybody in the movie. You know, the movie is really just stitched together skits. You know, Chevy Chase is just in like two scenes. Chevy's in a little bit more. Bill Murray's in two scenes, literally two. It is not technically a great movie, but Ted Knight is there the whole time to be the antagonist, and he is awesome. And Judge Smales makes that entire movie work.
Do you know comedian Bert Kreischer, right?
I know him by name. I don't know who he is.
Okay. Have you ever heard Bert Kreischer's theory on just how people get Judge Elihu Smales wrong in the movie?
No, but I'm very curious, because nobody ever talks about Judge Smales except me. No, tell me more.
What if I told you that Bert Kreischer has a whole theory that Judge Smales is actually the protagonist in the movie, the hero, guy who is being unfairly persecuted?
I love this.
Here, take a listen.
Worked hard his whole life. He's going to this country club. You get this obnoxious dude showing up, just ruining his golf game.
Gophers are driving into his golf course, the one thing he loves. He gets a little bit of money and he buys himself a modest boat, something for him and his wife to spend their Saturdays on. And this obnoxious rich dude, this should be a Cobra Kai. They should do a series about a young Judge Smales. He thought he had friends. Yeah, Ty Webb's dad hated him. He thought they were friends. And he's surrounded by his brother's kids.
I forgot about Spalding. He's
burned with everyone's fucking kids.
He has few pleasures in life, and they're being ripped away from him slowly.
Well, the world needs ditch diggers too, Danny. But he does try to take this Danny kid under his wing. All he asks is that, hey, man, can you follow the rules also? And Danny's like, fuck you. I'm going
to ask your niece. I know you're banging my niece in my bed.
In your bed. And then I'm going to look at your wife naked. That's a me-too-able thing. This fucking Danny's a cunt. And fucking Judge Bales is a goddamn saint for what he's got put up with.
That's all I'm saying. It's just humanize the goons here. You heard Judge Bales. You heard it here.
How about that for an alt theory? That's
awesome. And you know what? They're really right. That is it's not only defensible. I think they're correct about it. He is the hero of the movie.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
That's so good.
That's enough sports. Let's pivot off of sports. There's a couple of scams you want to get into. Scams.
I'm fast. This one is fantastic. So, you know, on Kalshi and other prediction markets, you can bet on so many various things, including what will the high temperature be in Los Angeles, pick a city.
Right.
And, you know, people wager it. Is it 82? Is it 83? Is it 84? Is it over 82 or under 82 and a half? Some enterprising person or group figured out that the National Weather Service's a temperature detection devices were very low security, because who needs to put security on that, right?
Why would anyone monkey with the thermometer?
Right.
Well, but as soon as you can start betting on it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So people started hacking the thermometers for the National Weather Service, so they misreported the temperatures so they could make money on the prediction market.
My God, how did they unravel this? Have they filed any charges? Is it a federal crime to hack a weather thermometer?
It's a federal crime to hack anybody's device, somebody else's device. Right. So, yes, I don't believe they have caught anybody attached to it, but Kalshi should be able to go back and look and go, people were dropping $5,000 on LA weather every day. You know, what this account was doing it every day. That might be suspicious.
Right.
You know, I don't think weather gets that kind of action normally, but if you know you've got a winner, you're going to be betting a lot of money. So they have, to the best of my knowledge, nobody's been arrested on this yet, but they have reported the crime. And this highlights the bigger issue that's coming to all these prediction market sites like Kalshi, where people made millions and millions of dollars knowing that Iran was going to be attacked, and that the markets got flooded by money in the hour before the attack when insiders knew it was coming. And so for these prediction markets, they're going to have to get a lot more savvy about what they allow people to bet on and how much, and, you know, what things they can and can't be doing. They've already stopped doing what they call doomsday events, like, will a war start before or after this day? Will this leader be assassinated? They've stopped doing that stuff, but they've still got a little ways to go.
Well, I don't understand how they can make markets and actually exchange money based on things public figures say, because there have been betting markets for things like, will Trump use the word annihilation in his press conference today? And not just Trump, but even lesser administration people, where all they have to do is put a word in there and they could be well aware there's a market on it. They could have their own proxies wagering on it. And they could say the word silly nanny when they had long odds. Like, do you think that so-and-so is going to say silly nanny? And it's like, suddenly it's there.
Suddenly it's there. And
yeah.
And in this case, keep in mind, the Trump administration, Trump himself and his family, are heavily invested in Polymarket and lightly invested in Kalshi. And they have already pulled some levers to try to help those companies at a federal level. You know, these companies are facing challenges in many states.
Regulatory challenges, yes. They're
regulatory challenges.
State by state. No, hold on a second.
So here's your mentions example. And I think I told you, I may have told this story in January when I bet on Al Michaels saying the word snow in the Bears playoff game, in which there was snow expected for the entire game.
Yep.
And it had been snowing all day, but when kickoff came, there was no snow and the field was clear. And I had bet snow at like 80%. So it wasn't going to be a big return, but I'm like, how do they not mention that there either is snow, it's going to be snowing, or that there was snow.
You had snow minus 120.
I had snow minus 120. And the Al Michaels whole broadcast never says snow until the very end. We're with seconds left in the game.
Even though the snow was gone by then.
The snow was gone. And he had never mentioned the word snow. Very end of the game, Al Michaels lays out something like this. I know a lot of you were expecting to get some white stuff on the ground for this game, but it never materialized, and we never got that frozen precipitation that many people expected. We didn't get the dusting. It ended up being a dry field, and we never had the crystallized precipitation that many people thought we were going to have. I'm like, you fucker.
Wow.
He absolutely knew. And maybe he had bet the no, you know, or his friends had bet the no on snow. So
this is all extremely unhealthy. Wagering responsibly at mybookie.com using promo code Zabe is healthy and responsible. So make sure you use that promo code Zabe to get your promos lined up and ready to go. And don't get into this Kalshi stuff because it's dangerous right now, kids. It's unregulated. Okay, here's another scam for you. Apparently, a tanker in the Strait of Hormuz fell for a fake crypto scam of people impersonating the IRGC, the Iranian Republican Guard Command. What does IRGC stand for?
I don't know. It's the Iranian military.
Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. Okay. So their army, their military. And they ended up paying the toll to get through.
The Strait of Hormuz, yes.
Right. And then they're like, okay, I'm sailing on the Strait of Hormuz. Pew, 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 pew. Pew, pew. God, this is the tanker. What the hell's going on here? We paid for this. We do not have any money. Stop. Turn around. Oh, my God.
It's brilliant. You hate to put these people in such a good light, but it's brilliant. The hackers that figured out the weather angle and these people that intercept. And this is by the way, you know, India's responsible for so much fraud, right? And they hack so many things, and they're trying to get credit cards off old ladies. The fact that this happened to an Indian freighter feels like a certain amount of justice and was probably perpetrated by another Indian who demanded that they pay in cryptocurrency to get through the strait, and it turned out they were paying hackers.
It is not in the least racist in any way to say that Indians are the most unethical scammers on the planet, because that's their culture. They're a nation of a billion people plus, and there is a strict caste system that keeps the lower end of the entire country in abject poverty. Like disgusting, you know, I saw Slumdog Millionaire, and it didn't go far enough into showing you what real life was for people in India with no money. And so the only way to get a leg up is to scam your way up the ladder and to take advantage of whatever system, government, other person you can. It's a savage sort of culture. It is what it is. So, you know, this is just what you have to kind of understand. Does not mean every single person who is of Indian descent is a scammer. It just means in general, this is their culture. And you have to take that into account when it comes to certain things.
Somalia would like a word in this conversation.
Would like a word. Well, China is also similar in that China doesn't give a shit about intellectual property or trademarks or copyrights. They violate that shit all the time. But something interesting about China that I saw recently, which is many were predicting the Chinese economy would zoom past the U.S. in the 20-year period that is kind of coming to a close. And the actuality is, no, it's sort of leveled off, and the American economy keeps on going up and up and up. And it was a fascinating read into how, yeah, you know, sometimes the experts are just not right about certain things. They don't account
all the time.
Yeah, they don't account all the time. Well, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. But
you know, if you want to know what's not going to happen, look at the so-called experts and what they say is going to happen in their field of study. Because it's wrong, so totally wrong, so much of the time. Yeah. I am not going to put environmentalists on blast here, but I'll say this: what I always remember, eighth grade, having to do a long section of science class on how, by the time year 2000 came, which for me at that point was 20 years away, how all of our coastal cities were going to be underwater. And I had to be tested on that. And I had to go back and explain how by 2000, all our coastal cities are going to be underwater because of these things and what all the experts were saying. And that was just presented as fact. And I had to recite it as fact. And if I wanted an A, I had to talk about how our coastal cities are going to be underwater by 2000.
And nobody goes back to go, well, here's how we were wrong, or here's what we missed. They don't want to admit that. They just want to keep on plowing forward because government funding is based on, you know, saying the right things that those in power are willing to give you money to study.
Money for.
That's right. Right. And so it's a complete regulatory sort of trap in which if you don't say the right things, you ain't getting no money. If you ain't getting no money, guess what? You're painting houses or you're putting shellac on a fence somewhere.
It's not that's fun. Right.
They also got, you know what else they also got wrong is overpopulation. We are facing a birth rate decline in just about every Western nation, including a severe
in the West.
One in South Korea that is going to lead to a depopulation bomb.
Yes.
So you're going to go back and go, here's how we were wrong about this. No.
Here's the other thing that we are starting to find out only now about population is for years, these big communist countries were simply lying about how many people were alive for two reasons. One, they wanted to puff their chests out. You know, we are Russia. We have 500 million people because we have such a healthy country.
Yeah.
So that was part of it is they just wanted to puff their chests about their population numbers. But also they didn't want to have to acknowledge when they have a, let's say, 5-year famine that kills, 30 million people, they didn't have to acknowledge that their population had suddenly dropped by 30 million people in 5 years from famine.
Or that, and so it's or turning that a out huge that, chunk of their population fled because their country is such a shithole. They don't want to admit that either.
That too, right? So Russia, China, many other places where there was, it turns out there were very inaccurate reporting.
Yeah. We would be remiss if we did not do a review of our trip to go see Holy Fuck. Live in person.
Yes. Down, we threw Zabe in the deep end of the pool.
Down at the Pearl Street Warehouse, waterside in Southwest Washington, D.C. I had a great time. I've got a conversation that I taped. It turned out pretty good. I think you're going to like it. I'm going to process.
The audio's okay.
The audio processing, when I run it through Riverside, this platform, they use AI. Do you know why the platform is so good, Riverside, is that they use AI to process people's audio so that if somebody is talking just on their laptop mic, it'll do stuff to that audio where it makes it sound almost studio quality, which is kind of crazy. I learned, though, that they send in a notice to us to subscribe to their service. They're like, just so you know, here's the different vendors we use for certain parts of our platform, and the audio gets sent to Switzerland because that's where these Swiss labs are when it comes to processing the audio. What a mind-blowing global economy. Isn't technology wonderful? I upload this podcast or anything, and they ship the audio over to Switzerland to get AI processed and then back down to me.
And fast, right? I mean, I assume this is happening in real time, or is that all happening in post? I assume it's happening real time.
When I hit audio process for an hour long podcast, it'll take 10 minutes to.
Oh, okay. All right. So it does that processing afterwards. Now, if
that's for the audio, it's a lot of audio. That's almost an hour of audio.
Yeah. Unless I'm telling a Hedy Lamarr story and then it's 2 hours of audio.
Then the AI tries to kill itself before it processes the audio and then gives up.
If you're, and now some other, in this case, Switzerland, some company in Switzerland then has all of your voice, your content, your belief system, right? You know, the fact that I just came out and talked about this story about how we were led astray by environmentalists in 1980, right? Yeah. Now suddenly I'm going to be, you know, there's some, the checking some box is me being some MAGA, you know, right winger, which is not really true. But, you know, there's somebody housing all of that.
Sure.
In Switzerland. Now, if it's got to be any country, I guess I'd take Switzerland.
Okay.
Historically neutral. So maybe it's safer there than it would be other countries.
Are you unsettled by that?
A little bit.
Okay. I'm not.
But you've given up privacy. You and I are different about this. I think you've just thrown in the towel on privacy.
Well, to me, we're living in a world in which it's raining and we have a tiny flimsy umbrella and the rain's coming in sideways. My pants are already wet, up to my knees, soaking wet. Shoes are wet. Socks are wet. I could furiously keep holding and tilting this flimsy umbrella to keep the rest of me dry. But I'm at the point where I'm like, why bother? Look at my pants. They're soaking wet. I can't stop all privacy invasion. I don't worry about it too much in this regard. Remember that once they have all my data, they would have to do something with that data nefariously. And there's too many people in the world, and there's only so much time and energy and capital to be spent to go do something with it. So what are they going to do to me that I'm worried about? Show up with guys in black suits and guns and haul me away? I suppose. Maybe.
Tell that to Taiwan, right? I mean, you know, okay, it's not likely to be a problem for you, but it might be by the time my kids, my kids are adults, maybe it is a problem here.
You're right because the fucking UK has fallen, and there is
look at the UK
speech in the UK, exactly. And that is terrible. I mean, I'm just hoping that America, at least until I'm dead, holds strong, and then after that, I hope my kids figure out a way to, turn it back the right direction. That said, let's talk about a holy fuck. So we have this conversation. I'm going to post it, even though my last tableside conversation drew some criticism, the one I had in Vegas. I do think this one's pretty good because there was no eating during the conversation. And there was no waiter.
Unlike the Vegas one, nobody's listening to you eat.
There's no waiter interrupting us every few minutes to ask how our food is, which annoyed people.
That's because because our server was very inattentive, which turned out for the best, actually.
Right. It was me, Charge, your buddy Brian from Silver Spring, and Joel, your buddy from growing up in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Both those guys, as big a music nerds as you. And we had a wonderful, nerdy discussion about music to go see this unique band, Holy Fuck, from Canada, which is four dudes with synthesizers, computers, keyboards, a guitar. There is a drummer. And they make these kind of industrial synth songs using highly unconventional things to make music. Did I describe it accurately?
You did a great job. I think you did a great job with that. The microphone that they sing into is off of a Tandy 1970s era tape recorder. Yeah. So it's all fuzzy. I mean, you don't really hear the guy's voice. His voice really just turns into an instrument. And it's just noise. It's mostly just noise. You'd never know any of the lyrics that he's saying. They use a film strip of the type that was used in the 1960s at school, and they run a film strip back and forth through the film strip reader to get some weird sounds going back and forth, a little bit like people that would use, like hip hop artists that use the record and they're scratching with a record. They're doing that with film, right? Back and forth in film. Use a butter knife. I don't know if you caught this nuance. Using a butter knife on the guitar.
I did see the butter knife. I couldn't see what he was pressing it against, though. It looked like a keyboard, but it was actually a guitar.
It was a it was a chunk of guitar that he was using on the with the butter knife. So yeah, it's a lot. It's very noisy. It's very random. I was very proud of you to give it a try because this was, you know, this is hard stuff. This is 10 out of 10 nerd music right here. And I was very proud that you attended, you tried it. This was, you know, this was a smaller venue than I think you've ever seen a show in. So yeah, points to you. For anybody who thinks Steve Zabin is just a curmudgeon stuck in his ways, Steve Zabin went to Holy Fuck.
I went to Holy Fuck and I stayed till the end. I stayed till the encore.
You did, yeah, that is, you did not ale it. That's stunning that you did not ale Holy Fuck.
Yeah, yeah. And I actually had to be up in the morning. So that was good on me to stick to the end. Now, I'm going to play this. It's an 11-second clip. I posted it on social media. Actually, I could probably pull it up on Twitter. That way you could see it and people can see it right here. But what I was fascinated by, yes, it was loud. Yes, it was sort of... just industrial, you know, it was an industrial type of sound, right? Overall. Is that what they would call themselves?
Well, industrial's even more is like that times 10, but yeah, it's heading that way.
What do they call themselves?
They don't. I just say mad scientist rockers and, but it is noisy. It's noisy. There's definitely noise to it. And that's not like melodic.
They call themselves.
I don't know. I don't think they do.
All right. Here's my,
they shoehorn themselves.
Here's my tweet on this. All right. I said, downtown Pearl Street Warehouse, seeing one of Church's favorite bands. He flew all the way across the country to see, let's just say they ain't the Beach Boys. To each their own.
That's right.
This was not ba 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 ba.
There were no good vibrations to be had here.
Vibration. No soft harmonics in this. This is what you got. And I mean, it was just that pretty much the whole time. And there's the guy, the lead singer, singing into the Tandy plastic microphone with the quarter inch mono jack.
That's right.
And I was just sitting there going, I'd love to know anybody who knows the words that he is screaming.
And I don't think anybody does. Now, did you notice that I have now reached an age, Zabe, where... my favorite bands, they're up on stage wearing their readers.
Yes. That's they're all wearing their readers.
They're wearing their readers. I'm like,
welcome,
oh God.
To old age. That is so sad. Now it's not as sad, however, as some musical acts. I sent you this and I said the topic we could do an hour on someday is musicians who just need to stop. Stop yes. doing it. David Lee Roth is squarely in the crosshairs of, sir, please stop doing this.
Oh.
Oh. Now, look, I get it. There's still a market out there to see David Lee Roth do old Van Halen songs, but he looks so old. He's wearing these super tight pants and he just is up there making the most awkward motions. His voice is not great. I've heard worse. Some say Vince Neil for Motley Crue should also give it up. I saw Motley Crue for the first time. And it was like the 25th time for Big Mike and Company at Summerfest 2 years ago. I liked the show because I'd never seen Crue in person, but they admitted to me, they're like, yeah, they're hanging on by a thing.
Right.
Yep. David Lee Roth actually, is well past his expiration date, but at least he is not Frankie Valli. You're aware of the Frankie Valli situation, correct?
Nope.
You know, Mr. Oh, What a Night.
Yeah.
Sweet classics. Surrender to the Dixie. Huh? Frankie Valli is still doing shows in Vegas, and he can barely move. And he looks like an actual Disney animatronic figure. And people are wondering, is he so in debt to a casino from unpaid markers that they're forcing him out here to do this? Who is doing this?
And it's sad that it's that way. And I've got to run in 1 minute here, but Hart is similar. Ann Wilson is in a wheelchair. They're doing shows with Ann Wilson in a wheelchair.
No, I don't want to see that.
I know. It's really sad that, you know, come to this. I'd like to think that they have enough money that they don't have to do this.
When I'm in a wheelchair, Church, I want you to put me in that side by side. Take me to the highest cliff out there in Zion National Park. Give me a big high five and say it was a great life and give me a push. All right, Church, you got to go. You're the best, my friend.
I got to go.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
We'll close today on a food story, but first some feedback. Zabe@yahoo.com is the email. I get them all. I read them all. Respond to most. Sometimes I miss them. Some of your emails have landed in my spam folder for reasons I don't understand, and I did not respond because it washed too far down the river. Many of them were good, heartfelt emails about the Soft Eyes, Strong Spine book, and I appreciate those emails. I'm sorry I did not respond, but the river moves fast, and by the time I looked into the spam tank, I was like, ah, shit, and I hit restore, and then it got dumped back into my inbox, and it was at least 50, 60, 70, 80 emails down, and I just forgot to respond. Matthew Verrill, feedback, he writes, Zabe, counter feedback after hearing the Zabecast earlier this week about your tableside dinner pod in Vegas. The way you host your lunch broadcasts is similar to how I coach young executives in hosting a business lunch. 1, careful strategic planning, check. 2, stated objective, check. 3, warm intros, check. 4, precise ordering, check. This is huge, he says. Control is asserted by the host confidently, but not overbearing. 5, steady flow, check. 6, length of time, perfect. Your 30 years of sponsors, meet and greets, shows. I got my start in sales at Extra 690. I've got a tiny sense of what it takes to do a remote. Thank you for continuing to put forth an honest effort, Matthew Verrill. Thank you, Matthew. I had no idea that I was executing at such a high level. Hans Borosch says, listening to your Monday pod, fuck that guy, Tom. Don't change anything. This one from Tim O'Connor, Indianapolis. Hey, Zabe, some of the things your boy Andy says almost send me careening into a ditch. He seriously asked if you try a hat on before buying it? Andy, it's not a pair of socks. Every hat fits and looks different. How does he not know this? Doesn't wear hats. Not usually. I would have said a couple years ago, you crashing out at your mom's house was a flex. I was corrected by my 19-year-old daughter. They're not saying that anymore. It's not an aura. Shrug emoji, don't ask me. Also, the podcast dinner, brouhaha, it's not a big deal at all. You're not slurping pea soup or devouring a watermelon. Much ado about nothing. Sincerely, TikTok. Thank you. On the shoe front, got multiple emails saying, Zabe, you're the dope, not Andy, that Dr. Scholl's does indeed make footwear. Multiple kinds of shoes and boots and slippers and galoshes and clogs and hiking boots. Okay, you get the point. I had no idea. I thought they were just insoles. Greg Collard writes to say, Zabe, first, much respect for going through 65 bags of mulch after walking 18 holes of golf. Second, I found your shoe conversation interesting. I want to throw in my recommendation that I'm sure will make you laugh. Don't discount Walmart's Avia shoe. It's serviceable as an all-purpose shoe that will last at least a year of regular use and running and walking a few hundred miles. Best of all, I paid $17 for it. Is it as good as a $60 shoe? My previous high limit? Not quite, but close enough. It's certainly worth the $40 a year in savings. All shoes are made from the same slave labor anyway on the other side of the globe. Might as well go with the cheapest. Sincerely, a cheap guy who tracks how much change he finds. Sincerely, Greg. I like that, Greg. Good tip. And you're mostly right.
although I think that some shoes do have a bit more craftsmanship, better materials, better construction, a little bit better engineering, but probably not a lot. And knowing that you're going to wear through them in a year or so, yeah. Okay, now to this story. Red Lobster is bringing back their endless shrimp. Auga! Auga! Look out! This is what nearly sank the company last time. Red Lobster is bringing back its famous endless shrimp promotion starting Monday, making a surprise revival of one of the most recognizable all-you-can-eat offerings. The deal will return for a limited time at select locations. That's how they don't get hurt. Night is going to roll it out everywhere. One Red Lobster location told Fox Business that the new offering will be priced at $24.99. That's up from $20 in 2024, when it most recently appeared on menus. Other locations have reportedly priced the promotion at $29.99. It'll include five different shrimp varieties, including a new flavor called Marry Me Shrimp, inspired by internet culture. It'll be offered with a choice of side. Marry Me Shrimp, huh? A shrimp dish so good, it can convince a woman that when you drop down on one knee and hold out a ring with a nice five-piece of shrimp on the side to say, I do, I must taste such delicious shrimp. Other offerings in this endless shrimp promotion include shrimp linguine Alfredo, Walt's favorite shrimp, which will be hand-breaded and lightly fried butterfly style with cocktail sauce, garlic shrimp scampi, sautéed in a garlic lemon butter sauce, and Parrot Isle coconut shrimp, hand-breaded jumbo coconut shrimp served with pina colada sauce. The deal was discontinued in 2024 after it was widely cited as a factor in the company's disastrous financial losses ahead of its bankruptcy filing, which led to the closure of 130 restaurants. While the company previously signaled it would not bring the promotion back, strong customer demand and a recent surge in engagement have led Red Lobster to reconsider its long-running two-decade legacy, quote-unquote, according to the Orlando-based restaurant chain. Godspeed and good luck. All I know is when I thought of this, I thought of the two most famous pop culture shrimp sound bites that came right to mind. The first was Forrest Gump's friend in the army, Bubba, talking about all the different kinds of shrimp you can make.
Anyway, like I was saying, shrimp is the fruit of the sea. You can barbecue it, boil it, broil it, bake it, saute it. There's shrimp kebabs, shrimp creole, shrimp gumbo, pan fried, deep fried, stir fried. There's pineapple shrimp, lemon shrimp, coconut shrimp, pepper shrimp, shrimp soup, shrimp stew, shrimp salad, shrimp and potatoes, shrimp burger, shrimp sandwich. That's about it.
That's about it right there. And I'd be remiss if I didn't play for you the ultimate shrimp-related pop culture soundbite, Costanza with Jerk Store.
This proposal doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, you never know. Let's see how many I can fit in my mouth.
You know, George, the ocean called. They're running out of shrimp.
Oh, yeah, Riley? Well, the Jerk Store called. They're running out of you.
What's the difference? You're their all-time bestseller.
An all-time classic for sure. That'll do it for us today. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Spread the word, rate and review. It helps the algorithmic overlords spread the word about this highly enjoyable entertainment product known as the Zabecast. If you would like this podcast ad-free, just subscribe. It's a mere $5 a month. It's never gone up in price. The most inflation-resistant product out there anywhere. And on top of that, you get a fifth day for free.
or fifth day included instead of just four. And that would be Scott and Solly with me on Fridays. Go to zabe.com/premium and sign up today. Thanks for listening. Have a great Wednesday, and we will see you next time.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.